Everybody ready? Come on, let's go. Yo, what's up? I'm Rick Thorne. Welcome to the show. On this episode, I got longtime friend and legend and just overall badass that doesn't seem to stop, Mr. Tony Hawk. I'm going to give him a call right now. Let's do this.
Rick, yo.
Yo, you there?
Yeah, sorry. My Bluetooth was acting up. I'm here.
No, dude, it's not you. It's my phone, too. You know, every time I go to do a podcast, like either the gardener's out there, there's some construction. I'm like, dude, stop this. Dogs are barking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I'm set up in my bedroom, so I'm like, can you gardeners please just stop for like a half hour, bro? Come on. Anyhow, dude, I haven't talked to you in a long while, man. What have you been doing during this this whole quarantine and all this coronavirus crisis and everything? What have you been up to?
Honestly, the only way that my life has really changed is that I'm not traveling. So, I'm just home with the kids and skating either at our house or at my ramp, and kind of that's it. Like, if I'm not home, I'm at the ramp. It's, I mean, I feel super lucky because I have all, you know, I have all those things available to me, and our kids, I think the big difference, too, is that our two of our kids are home from college.
Well, that's cool.
Which is, yeah, I mean, that's super cool. But, you know, we only had one in the house full time up until this all happened. And now we're back at four kids full time.
Oh, dude, you're like losing your mind.
I know. I mean, it's cool. We get to spend time with them. But it is weird that we were reaching that age where we're kind of almost empty nesters, and all of a sudden, no, we have more kids than ever.
Yeah, it's crazy. No, I meant, of course you love being around your kids, but I'm kind of going through that myself in a weird way. It's like my kids are getting older, and I'm like wondering what I'm going to do next. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, and that's, I guess there's an irony in that we thought the next stage of our life was just going to be sort of, I could pick and choose what I want to do, and mostly based on where I want to go. So we would have this sort of leisurely travel life, and that's off the table. That's not happening.
That's funny, dude. Yeah, but you've had your ramp, dude, indoor ramp. I noticed on your Instagram. So you're there like every day, right?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, if I was ever traveling, when I would travel, whenever I'm home, that's what I would go do. I'd go skate the ramp, and so I'm there more than ever, and I can't tell you how many people are hitting me up now, because, you know, people that skate a little bit of vert are now like, hey, man, when are we skating?
Right, I know, right? Like, like, hey, bro, so...
Including our kids, like, a couple of our kids have gotten back into vert.
Yeah, that's awesome. Dude, Riley kills it, too. I'm proud of him.
What's that?
Riley kills it, too. I'm proud of him.
Yeah, I'm actually going to meet him today at the ramp.
Yeah, that's rad. No, that's so cool. Speaking of Riley, I got photos of me and him. He was like three, dude, in Australia. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, big day out.
Yeah, crazy times, dude. Well, that's cool, though. You have the opportunity to like keep skating, and you have that, you know, but I get it, bro. It's kind of like when you put the last screw in the ramp, dudes start showing up. Like, dude, what's up? We're going to ride? You're like, wait, what? Where you been this whole time?
Yeah, well, they all, and I guess it's also that I haven't made it any secret that I'm not over there. So a lot of people are seeing me skating all the time, and they're just sitting at home, like, because all the parks are closed. I mean, they literally have sand in the parks now.
That's crazy. Dude, some of them have wood chips. Like dirt,
oh,
dirt,
rough.
Dude, rough, so rough. They have dirt and wood chips. My one buddy posted one, and I was like, no way. We were riding one up at Fillmore a lot because they didn't have a fence around it, and it wasn't until like a couple days ago they finally closed that one, and we're like, damn. You know what I mean? You're like, well, back to the streets.
Yeah, it's hard, too. People keep wanting me to comment on that, and all I can say is, you know, those are the rules that the governments are putting in place, so they didn't want you to skate. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
If you're going to skate, you're going to get a ticket, and now they are making it physically impossible to skate. what can I say except for, I guess it's an effective way to keep you from skating. It sucks, but, you know, that, that they're desperate to keep people out of public areas, I suppose.
Yeah, well, what's crazy about it is, like, you know, and I hear you, it's like one of those things where, like, what's out of our hands, like, I don't know what to say, but what's, if you think about it, with skating and riding and stuff, like, you're not around anybody anyways. Like, when you're, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's super tricky. I mean, I disagree with it. I think that beaches should be open. I mean, it feels like the ocean is probably one of the safest places you could possibly be.
Exactly.
And I sense that a skate park, you could definitely abide by the rules. But, you know, there are enough people that are not abiding by the rules that it makes it kind of ruins it for everyone.
Yeah, like if dudes are just hanging out, kicking it, not doing anything, you know what I mean? And then they're collaborating on the deck. I get it. But yeah, it's man, it's rough. So you got the indoor spot, which is rad. Also, too, I saw something on your Instagram is that you're on Vans, dude. That's rad.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Man, like how many years, dude?
I'm excited.
How many years ago were you on Vans?
You know, I was never officially on Vans. I rode Vans through my youth until I was about 16.
Right.
And then it was more like it was just no one was officially sponsored. I don't know, it's hard to explain. Like no one was making any money, right?
Right.
And so it was just more like who would give you shoes? And so whenever I would just get shoes, that's what I wore. So I burned through, I mean, I went through a bunch of Vans. I was getting shoes from Puma for a minute, and even Nike, like during the Animal Chin days. And then Airwalk started, and that was it. I was off and running. But I'm happy. Like I'm excited to be officially connected with them. I think they've been a great representative of our sports and our cultures, and have never wavered from that. You know what I mean? Like, any company that blows up in our world goes bad. It goes, you know, they go mainstream, or they lose the core values of what they started with. And Vans never has, so I'm really stoked to be here.
I know, yeah. They kept it very consistent, and that's amazingly consistent. And that's rad. When I saw that on your IG, I was like, dude, you're probably gonna do a lot of vert demos. You guys got anything lined up thinking of that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because Vans does vert demos
a
lot.
Yeah, part of my deal with them was to produce an actual vert competition, because I feel like that is a lost art form in our world, and people just don't realize how progressive vert is. You know, vert is what has really spawned almost all of the aerial tricks you see in the park series.
Right.
But the tricks that are happening on vert are on the next level of what that could be. And people have sort of forgotten how progressive it is, and I want to bring that back into the forefront.
Sick, dude. So you're going to have a full series, huh?
We're going to start with one event. I mean, who knows? Our original idea was slated for late summer, so I don't know if that's unlikely now.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But that's cool that you're able to, like, do that, you know what I mean? Because that's amazing that you're with Vans and that you're able to put on a contest, you know, to like let people know what's up, dude. Because you and Bucky are killing it every day in your ramp, dude. I see it every day. What did Bucky just do? He did that backside switch boneless.
Switch backside boneless.
It's insane.
It's funny because that, you know, like that's the kind of thing where in the world of vert skating and transition skating, you know, if you ever did it, you understand that is just so technical, difficult, tricky, dangerous. It doesn't look like much to the non-skater or, you know, anyone who doesn't ride ramps.
Right.
But to me, that's like a milestone. And and that's the kind of thing that I want to push, you know, that make people understand that, no, we're not, like, this stuff is not slowing down. It's just getting to the next level now.
It's so rad. It's amazing. You guys are still pushing it hardcore. I love it. I wanted to talk to you also about something you did that I saw on your Instagram that you're actually doing is the All In Challenge. What is that?
Yeah, so All In Challenge is they tapped a bunch of people to offer experiences to raise money for people going hungry. Not just from this epidemic, but also in general. And so, you know, it's more crucial than ever that people are getting fed and that are provided for. So I offer basically a private skate lesson. There's a couple ways you can go about it. You can offer something and then they'll have an auction for it, and that just goes to the highest bidder. Or you have sort of a raffle and everyone has equal chances of getting it if they just donate at least $10. And I went that route because I didn't want my experience to just be for someone of privilege.
Got it.
I want it to be more like it's an even, you know, even chances to get it, and someone could be much more appreciative that way. So that's it. I offer that, and I don't really know how much money it's raising, but I know they're closing in like $5 million overall, so they're doing a really good job.
That's rad, dude. You always do cool stuff. You always give back. I love it, dude. Yeah, I always notice you always
just. Oh, thank you.
No, you do, man. You always do cool stuff, and like with your foundation. How's the foundation doing? The Tony Hawk Foundation.
We're doing all right. It's just it's a tricky time, you know, especially for nonprofits to try to raise any kind of money.
Right.
It's really hard if you're not raising money for a direct relief of all what's going on, then it's even harder. But I feel like our work is more important than ever because once we are able to go out and about and to gather at skate parks, that's where so many people are going to be, and so many kids are going to need that kind of outlet, especially in challenged areas. And so I believe in our work more than ever. It's just a more difficult time than ever to raise awareness for it and to raise funding for it.
Right.
But, you know, I know that when things get a little bit back to normal, people are going to understand how valuable skate parks are.
They're so valuable, dude. How many parks have you guys put up through the years? A lot, right? Made or created?
Yeah, well, we basically help fund parks. That's a misconception, is that we come in and say, oh, this city needs a park, and then we fund it and build it. We actually are trying to just more support the communities that have already started the process themselves. So if they're either raising funds, raising awareness, or they have a project going, we'll give them the resources. We give them funding as well, but our money doesn't go to build a whole park. It's more to give them the validation and the endorsement they need. So with all that being said, we're closing in on almost 1,000 skate parks in the U.S.
That's so rad, dude. That's amazing. I mean, would you ever have thought back in the day that you like 1,000 parks in the U.S. be like, dude, you're tripping. That ain't possible.
Right. There weren't even 10.
I know, right?
There were literally less than 10 skate parks, and most of them were you had to pay to skate there.
Yeah, and they were all in California too, pretty much, right? A couple on the East Coast.
Yeah, or, you know, there was the occasional like Kona or Dallas, but yeah, I mean, it was a handful of parks. They were private facilities. They were all falling apart because they're made of wood. It's just crazy to think that now these structures are there to stay, and they're free.
I know. That's the best part. So rad, 1,000 parks. So like 1985, there's going to be 1,000 parks in 2020. You're like,
oh, yeah,
right, bro. Sure. You're dreaming, buddy, dreaming. Hey, you were on The Masked Singer, dude. You got a good voice.
Thank you.
You do. I was like, dang, Tony. Tony's killing it right now, dude.
That was funny.
How was that,
yeah,
dude?
I've been invited to do a couple of those shows. Like, I've been invited to do the, you know, Dancing with the Stars and all. And I was just always like, no, I would never put myself out there like that. But then when this opportunity came, I thought, well, that's an interesting angle because no one will really know who I am. And so it's more fun, the mystery of it, than the challenge of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I definitely practiced for a while. You know, I have a bunch of musical talent in my family. My sister, she sang in a bunch of big bands in her day. And my dad used to be able to play almost every instrument. So
I felt like I
had enough background that I could do it. And one of my friends who's in a pretty popular band, he was helping me just sort of prepare for it. And he's like, look, at the very worst, it's not going to suck. And so I was like, all right, that's a pretty that's a pretty good standard to go by.
You killed it, dude. I was like, what song did you sing again? What was it you sung again?
Friday, I'm in Love.
That's it, yeah. I was like, dang.
I had one other lined up. I was going to sing Born to be Wild.
Awesome.
And if I had made it around past the first round, but and that would have been more of a flashy stage performance, but I had to go with The Cure first off because that's just way more closer to my heart.
Yeah, fully. Yeah, I was just blown away, man. I was like, dang, Tony could do anything.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, but you killed it, though. You killed it for sure, bro.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, when we first met, I think we started doing shows. I wanted to comment because me, you, and Dennis were on a text the other day, and I thought of this. Remember those Six Flags shows, dude, back in the day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It was like 94 or something?
Yeah, 94-ish. Yeah, I remember Riley was little. So, yeah, we did St. Louis, and we did we do another one, too? Dallas, maybe?
Dallas, but then we did a bunch of SJ shows because then it became like, you know, that's when they were mashing like BMX and skate together and inline skate. Remember, Matt?
Oh, yeah.
Everything together at once. Yeah. But
yeah, I heard Matt Hoffman, he posted a picture recently of his big demo ramp that you and I skated. You and I rode at the Michigan Fair.
Yep.
Like Michigan State Fair.
Wasn't Joan Jett playing there and a tornado
Joan
came
Jett
in?
Played, yeah, Joan Jett played at the State Fair. Yeah, exactly. I still have a scar on my hip from flying off the side of that ramp.
Dude, that's gnarly. Anyone listening, there were these jacks that would jack up the flat bottom of the ramp, and they were like 3 feet off the ground about or so, and then they would stick up, what, Tony, like about 6 inches above on the flat bottom? Like
just enough to be super dangerous, yeah.
We were extreme before extreme, brah.
I know, man. We were getting jacked up.
Dude, literally. And you know what, dude? We were doing, what, like 4 shows a day for $100 or some shit? Like crazy shit. Like, dude, would you ever think, like, I mean, I probably asked you this before, but I always trip on it. Like, remember we were at Big Day Out Tour in Australia, and I was like, dude, I hope that they bring us back. And that was like 96. And then I remember...
Oh, yeah.
I remember you said to me, I hope they do too. I don't know how much longer I could keep doing this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we weren't making... I don't think people really know because like they see like now. Like they see us now, right? Or they see you now, like what you're doing. But I don't think they really know like you paid your dues, bro. Like you... It went up and down, right? Like did the industry... Was the industry big? And then at that time, was it kind of like on the downside? Like in those early to mid-90s or what?
Yeah, it's so hard to describe all those years, but you know what the irony is that so that was 96, right?
Yeah.
When was that? I want to say it was 2011 or 12. I got invited back to do Big Day Out, and we, you know, when you and I did it, we were doing it on behalf of Airwalk, and we were like a sideshow, right?
Exactly.
Like, we were just out in the middle of the crowd with the ramp, skating whenever, riding whenever bands weren't playing. Like, it was just more like, hey, here's something to watch in between bands. And then, fast forward to, I want to say it's 2012, I got invited to Big Day Out, and we were a headliner. Like, our ramp was slotted in between bands so that people would come and watch us. Like, they would watch, what was it, Kasabian play. They'd
right.
watch our, they'd watch us skate, and then they'd watch Soundgarden, and then Kanye. Like, it was crazy.
No way, dude. That's
and
rad.
I couldn't believe that we, you know what I mean? I couldn't believe that we came that far. I mean, yeah, it took a while, but the idea that we did get invited back, but we got invited back like a band.
It's so rad.
I mean, you know, it's like Big Day Out was like a traveling Coachella, so
right.
Yeah, it was massive.
That's amazing.
And we were right. We were right between the two main stages. So, you know, we had prime real estate. It was awesome. It was just crazy because you're right. Back in '96, I thought, but also there was more of a lack of concern for our well-being back then.
Right. Exactly, dude.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, go do your thing, whatever. Like, no, there were no resources offered to us. No one was, you know what I mean? No one was, like, trying to get us back into games or getting hurt. Like, it was all on us to figure it out.
Right.
And we didn't even really have the knowledge. Like, it was just more like, oh, I fractured my wrist. I guess I can't do these tricks, but I got to get back out there.
Right.
And so now, not that it's any safer, but nowadays we definitely are more looked after, and so it makes it a little bit easier, and no one's expecting us to do, you know, go risk our lives three times a day because it's just not possible anymore.
Right. Yeah, it was a lot different back then, you know, and so it was kind of like you are on your own, you know, and you're not making that much money. I remember going back from doing those shows with you, and I was like, dang, dude, I'd done state fair shows up until then. I hadn't really been out of the country much until we did those shows. So it was like, wow, what a trip to me. I was like, holy cow, you know what I mean? Like, well, we're right next to Rage Against the Machine, and they're like, they got the half pipe right there. And then remember those demos with Rage? That was sick, dude. That was sick.
Yeah, that was insane.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, you did a McTwist every time. They're like, fuck you,
yeah,
I won't do what
right.
you tell me. And like every time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's six. Okay, so he says that 16 times in that song. So you did 16 back-to-back McTwist, dude. I'm like, what? And then you pop out like, I was sick, dude. That was like, oh, man, that was amazing. So then that's what I probably ask you. Hey, dude, I hope they bring us back next year. That was good times, man. That was good times.
We had to live through the lean times too, just so we could appreciate these days.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, and to keep going. I mean, people probably ask you all the time, like, "Do you ever think you make it this far?" I guess I'll ask you that. Do you ever think you make it this far, dude?
No, I mean there was no, mostly because there was no one to emulate. There was, you know what I mean? It wasn't like when I started skating. There wasn't some super successful, rich and famous skater where you could go like, oh, I want to be that guy.
Right.
It just didn't exist. Like the furthest you could go with it was to get your picture in a magazine and get some free gear. Like there was, no one was making a living. You know what I mean? No one was like out on tour the way that we are. And so I couldn't ever envision it. And I never really, that was never the goal anyway. I mean, the whole idea was that we found our sports because it spoke to us, because it was like something different. It was something, it was something that was more renegade, off the beaten path, and a really cool community. And you just wanted to keep doing it. Like it wasn't even that you wanted to get better than anyone else at it. You just wanted to keep doing it. And however that worked, that's what you're going to chase. And so, when, you know, as things progressed and as things got bigger and more successful, all that stuff was just more of a shock. It wasn't ever expected. It wasn't ever, sometimes it wasn't even welcome. It was just like, wait, what? You want my autograph?
Right.
Why? You know?
Yeah, like, huh?
Yeah, so I never dreamed this. And every single day I feel like I'm still sort of creating the dream, I guess. Like it's more just like, what else can we do with this reach, with this success? Like, exactly why I do these things, like the All In Challenge or the Foundation, because it's like I'm able to use the success to help promote what we're doing and to help people in need.
100%. And you love what you do. That feeling, man. That's what I do for myself. I'm like, people ask me, why do you ride? And I'm like, it's for that feeling. I mean, despite, like, you can help other people and do things like that, but, like, for me personally, what I get out of it is just that sense of accomplishment. Do you ever feel that way? Like, the feeling of skating is something.
Oh, of course. That, yeah. I mean, I tell people what, you know, the reason I still even skate is because when I was a little kid, I felt this sense of accomplishment and validation when I learned my first trick.
Right.
It was like almost like an addict. Like, that's the high that I've been chasing my whole life.
Dude, I'm the same, bro. It's crazy. It's rad, though, right? It keeps pushing you.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so, like, I wouldn't trade it for anything else.
Yeah. No, what got you into skating real quick? Like, what was it that set you off to, like, hey, I want to be a skater?
Well, my brother got me into skating.
Right.
He was a surfer in his day, and he started skating because that was sort of, you know, the extension of surfing, like Bob Town Z Boys era. So I started skating because he was, and he gave me one of his old boards, and then I just used it as transportation. Like, I didn't really think anything would come of it, or that I would ever take it that seriously, because it was more like in my youth, it was just considered a toy.
Right.
And then at some point, I got to go to a skate park, and I saw people flying out of swimming pools, and that's when I was like, I want to do that. Whatever gets me to that stage right there, that's what I want to do. And I never looked back. Like, I basically, within that first year of skating, quit playing Little League, quit playing basketball, and was at the skate park whenever I could get there.
Did you excel quickly?
No, not at all. I mean, I was terrible. Like, I was super, super little, super skinny. You know, when I first tried to figure out how to get to the top of the pool, I knocked my teeth out, got a concussion. I definitely was not a natural, but I had determination, and really that took me so far in those days. Because even after I got hurt, I literally woke up in an ambulance missing my front teeth, and my first thought was, I gotta figure out how to do rock and rolls correctly.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, and a lot of people, that would be the moment where they're like, I'm never skating again, or that their parents would impose restrictions on them.
Exactly. It's like, it's almost like when Dennis got knocked out, I think, at those Michigan shows. And we went to the hospital,
oh, yeah.
And me, you, and Matt Hoffman went to the hospital to see Dennis McCoy. And Dennis is like, all right, so check it out. I do bar spin 540s. Does Condor do bar spin 540s? And we're like, no. He goes, and then Dennis goes, I'm the Condor.
Yeah, I guess.
I was cracking up. Like, I'm the Condor.
So great.
Yeah, it's funny. I will say, you motivated me to do a 50 at 50, bro. I was the first biker to do it.
I did, that's awesome.
I did a 50 of 50, bro. I did. And, like, it was such a rad thing. I get inspired by you and the things that you do. I always have. And any time that I ever got to work with you was always an honor. I mean, because we did a lot of stuff together. We would do that time where it was cracking, X Games, Action Sports, blah, whatever you want to call it. We did a lot of shows everywhere together. And then the Boom Boom Huck Jam, all that, bro. I just wanted to say thank you. I don't think I ever got a chance to say thank you.
Oh, hell yeah. It was an honor. I couldn't believe we took it that far, you know? You were our MC at the Huck Jam.
Yeah, I was obnoxious, but, you know, what do you want? That's what announcers are. They're
great.
Obnoxious.
One of my favorite memories is, I got to tell you, one of my favorite, I mean, probably not your favorite memory, but just the chaos and the fun that we had doing those shows. One show, let's see, we already had a bunch of mishaps during the first part of the show where it was like, what is going on? And then you would ride during the jam, so we didn't really have an MC then.
Right.
And then you got knocked out during the jam, and it was like, wait, we just lost our MC.
who's gonna host? Shit. Who did end up hosting? Did you?
So then Kevin Robinson takes the mic.
Oh, okay.
And he MCs part of it, but then when he rides, he would hand it off to Ronnie Feist, and it was just, I mean, it was hilarious behind the scenes, but a shit show.
It's funny, dude.
But that was, you know what I mean? But it also represents, like, how how resourceful we were and how the show had to go on, and we all laughed it off. You know what I mean? Like, that yeah. show, like, I want to say Bucky also got KO'd, and we had someone throw fireworks on the ramp during the... It was crazy.
Dude, those were... That was... I couldn't believe that. That whole tour was like... Wow. That's all I could say. Is
it was like a dream, right? And like it couldn't have happened that way. It was too crazy.
Well, you brought it to life, dude. So you've always given back to people. You've always taken care. One thing I could appreciate for sure is you've always taken care of the riders and the people that work for you. You know what I mean? You've always looked out because you're from it, bro, and you're still doing it. And there's not many of you out there like that. You know what I'm saying? There's just not. There's not. Tony, just
well, I was just trying to treat everyone the way I always hoped to be treated, you know, and we had the resources, we had the means, and that was crazy. I mean, it was a crazy time, but also it kind of established a new sense of, I guess, a new sense of worth for the veterans of our culture.
Right.
Where it's like, no, we don't have to always be the sideshow to these things. We can be the main attraction.
Exactly, dude. All those years by the pig races paid off.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, we used to do shows and we'd be like, yo, head over to Turkey Leg Jones and grab yourself a turkey leg after the show, because he'd give us a turkey leg if we announced it in the show.
yeah. I mean, all that stuff, right? Like, that seems... And that, to us, like, that was totally normal.
Yeah, and it was negotiation skills.
That was like, yeah, because we weren't really even making enough to eat, right?
No.
Like, we were, if you really, like, scrimped by, you could walk away with some money from those shows. But for us, it was more like, hey, this is cool. We get to ride, do what we love, people are watching, and we're kind of making a living, but we're paying our bills. That was really all it was. It was like, we're paying our bills. This works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for me, it was like, I quit busting tables at Olive Garden to do state fair shows the whole year with Matt. I was like, yes, I hit the big time. I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. I remember when we would decide, like, during those days, if we were going to go, you know, if you're going to go, like, out for a nice meal, we would go to Olive Garden, and you knew all the tricks and all the secrets to getting, like, more food and better food there.
I did, bro. Yeah, all those years of... I even still know the song, bro. That's how crazy.
And free desserts.
Yeah, you had
the in for free desserts.
The free birthday cake. And then they stopped doing that, bro. I was like, yep. What? You don't even have to show ID?
Nice. That's because we... we took advantage of the system too much.
Hey, when you're making $15 a day food money, you gotta do what you gotta do to survive out there, dude.
You know it.
Yeah. Well, listen, Tony, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. What do you got coming up besides you know, with Vans and the stuff? Anything else you want to plug right now?
I wish I could tell you things coming up, but everything keeps getting either canceled or postponed. So. I'm still here doing my thing, and we still have Birdhouse Skateboards. You know, we're in 28 years now.
What? Wait a second. Hold on. Let me do the math here.
Crazy.
So wait. So if I met you, I think I met you a little bit beforehand, like maybe 2000. Must have been 2004 when we first did our first demos, maybe. So how? Wait. Is that right? Yeah.
No, 94.
Oh, 90. 94. Yeah, 94. 94. 2004.
Yeah. I met you right after I started Birdhouse when I was like. When we were just struggling barely, you know, make ends meet.
Yeah, and I think that's why we were talking about that in Australia, is we're like, yeah, I don't know how much longer I could do that, because you had all these things, you know, like, going on, you know what I mean? And, like, trying to make a living at skating was not... Hey, I'm going to ask you one more question, because people ask me all the time this, and I have kids. Is it like, how do you maintain what you're doing with kids? How was it for you with kids? To raise kids still being a skater?
It basically required adhering to a schedule, and that's my only, you know, that's the only great big change that happened from when I was in my 20s till now, is that I got to schedule my time and prioritize it, and I can't just jump at every opportunity. I can't just you know, go on my own terms. Like, I have to be like, okay, I know I have this window, say, when the kids are in school or when they're not doing some special project, that I get this hour or two to go skate, or that I can really figure out how to make sure that they're taken care of and that I'm able to go travel to do some other event. And it just takes a lot of finessing and prioritizing. It's not, it's the biggest challenge in my life, but it's not that hard when you realize how important it is.
Exactly. It is important to pass the torch, bro. And you've done an amazing job.
Yeah, it's important to be there for your kids too. I mean, you know, they you might not think, you know, that one performance they did was that big of a deal, but it was huge to them, and they're going to remember it forever.
Yep. No, they will. And being there is super important, and you've always done that. You've always been a stand-up dude, and I appreciate that, man. I think a lot of people do. You're a badass, Tony. I love you, bro. I'm stoked we got a chance to catch up.
Thanks, Rick.
And everybody knows Tony Hawk's Instagram, Tony Hawk, right? And have a rad day, dude. I hope to shred with you again soon, bro.
All right. Thanks, Rick. That was fun.
Okay, man. Have a great day.
Hey, you too.
Bye.